You're listening to 100.9 The Heat, gospel for the glory of Jesus, the High Desert's number one music station with Mel Slade.
And it's now time for a word from the Lord from Pastor Michael Echt Richardson, pastor of Grace Place, Church of God in Christ.
Amen. Good morning, saints. We're going to the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, and we're going to begin at the 9th verse. And it says this: "But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.'" Verse 11 says, "And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed and seeing the miracles and signs which were done." Verse 14 says, "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost." Verse 16 says this, saints, "For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Verse 17, "Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit." Very interesting is the next part of this. Listen very closely. Verse 18 says, "And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit.'" Amen. "But Peter said to him," in verse 20, "'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" Verse 21, "'You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by the bitterness and bound by iniquity.' Then Simon answered and said, 'Pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me.'" You know, it is absolutely interesting how people think they are saved, but are not aware of their heart not being totally committed to God. It is not that it is a going to hell type of situation, because there is an opportunity to do the right thing. If not, then we can never get to a place in God that is pleasing to Him. I mean, really, look at what is surrounding us spiritually. People are making a mockery of Christianity today. There are all types of so-called Christians out there that are living any type of way. We are in the middle of either making a difference or being totally silent. Death is all around us, and I constantly was meditating on why. Why? And the Lord said to me, baby boomers, that generation of people that is large in numbers are now becoming, beginning to experience the senior part of their lives, which includes death, disease, and illness. This is all connected, because it means that Christians have a job to do. I don't know whether or not you understand it, but you have a job to do if you are a born-again Christian. We have to persist at getting right with God. We have to be willing to pray and seek His will for our lives and to be a blessing to others. In our story today, we see Saul, who would later become Paul, had just participated in the stoning of Stephen. From there, he is going house to house, sending men and women to jail for their belief in Jesus Christ. It is one thing to experience the enemy in the street or at your job or somewhere on neutral ground, but to come into your house means that all-out war has been declared on you. Y'all ought to say something back to me over the airways, that when the enemy begins to come into your house, there's something that has to take place on your behalf. And because of the persecution that is spreading throughout the land, the disciples The preachers, the people of God, are constantly on the move, never staying in one place for any length of time. For to stay somewhere for any length of time could mean loss of freedom or even death. These were by far tumultuous times. So Philip, a disciple, goes into Samaria to preach the word. Samaria is a place that is made up of people from two different ethnicities. After Syria conquered the northern kingdom, they imported people into Jerusalem, and some of the Jews married those imported people. Their offsprings were called Samaritans. When the Jews returned from their captivity, the Samaritans wanted to share in the rebuilding of the temple, but they were rejected because of their pagan practices. So back to our story. Philip is in Samaria. He is in a place where they are worshiping several little G-O-D-S's, where there are several gods to be worshipped. What is interesting is that the crowd is with one accord. What is interesting also is that all of these false gods had to go when the real word of God is being preached. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what you're going through. I dare you to speak a word to yourself that God has proclaimed over your life. All that other mess, all that other junk has got to go when you begin to preach a word to yourself and to your family. And right now we see that people were convicted and were set free. Healing took place. Demonic forces were cast out. Everyone that cries out loud is not praising God per se. They might be in a fight for their life. You got to understand that when you come up against the enemy, some folk are going to cry out because they are in pain, and some stuff might need to come out, but you have to be willing to cry out, saints. Crying out confronts that thing that is in you. Crying out reaches out to God in a way that only He can interpret your pain. And then after the deliverance, oh yeah, you coming out of this thing. Tap yourself and say, I'm coming out of this thing. After the deliverance comes joy. The entire city was overjoyed. Then the story switches gears and focuses on a man named Simon. It is interesting to know that Simon is a Samaritan, which means that he has tried several gods, has been exposed to several foul practices. He used to be a magician who had everyone thinking that he was the power of God that is called great. In other words, he was the bomb, y'all. He was the man, but he was really fake. He was exceptional at being fake. He was exceptional at creating an illusion of greatness. Some of us are exceptional at being fake. You act like you got it all together, that everything is going to be all right. You need to take off your mask and begin to praise God right where you are. Some of us are exceptional at redirecting attention away from ourselves so that we do not have to confront the real issues of life. Exceptional at creating an illusion, but not really having real strength or any real power. Simon himself has experienced some false teaching and now is confronted with Jesus being his savior. And he is in the prison of his mind and has to decide whether or not to accept Jesus. He believes, and is even baptized and has accepted Jesus Christ as his savior. The preached word was presented. It took precedence. Men and women were baptized as a result of the preached word. After the entire city is overcome with being saved, Peter and John are sent to the city to usher in the Holy Ghost into people's lives. All this is taking place and the Holy Ghost has yet to get involved. Let me tell you all something. You might have just been operated under your salvation, but when the Holy Ghost gets involved, you better watch out, because there's something that's about to change right now in your life. And what happens here in Scripture is that Peter and John begin to pray and lay hands on folks, and they begin receiving the Holy Ghost. Now Simon, he witnesses this miracle, and he's right there and takes it all in. And instead of praising and letting go of his past, he embraces his past even more. He asks Peter and John to give him this power in exchange for money. There are a lot of things you can exchange for money. You can exchange money for a house, money for a car. You can exchange money for clothes, for groceries, for things. But you can't exchange money
money. You cannot exchange money for the power of God. You got to understand you can't give your way into this. You got to receive this thing. Simon fell back into what he knew. He was not used to being the man. He was powerless against real power. But instead of giving up on him and casting him out, Peter says that his heart is not right, that he has some iniquity down on the inside. What's your motive for being saved, saints? What's your motive for giving God praise? I want to know that you are real over in the Lord, because he has something great for you, saints. Listen to me right now. God is getting ready to do some things for you, because you have been exposed to your sin. God is doing some things. Simon's intent was very wrong. Did he get saved for the wrong reasons? Was it a game to him? Was it a gimmick? Did he want to deceive people with this power? I don't know. But one thing I do know is that the word says that Peter did not give up on him. Peter did not let him go. Peter did not let him get away. He told him to go and repent. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying to you, you need to go and repent. Get this thing right with God. And Simon, being Simon, understands the fact that he has to go and get right. And he says, whatever you do, don't forget about me. Pray for me. In other words, he was not about to give up, because he has experienced the real power of God. What I'm telling you right now, saints, is that when you experience the power of God over in your life, when you experience Jesus Christ, when you experience the blood that has been shed for the remission of sin, there is nothing you can do to go back to the life that you used to live. You will not have no peace. You will not have no joy. You will not have no happiness when you try to get away from God. But the more that you embrace God and give him everything that he asks for, God will absolutely bless you. He'll keep you. He'll strengthen you. He'll make ways out of no ways. He'll begin to put your family back together. He'll begin to put your mind back together. He'll begin to give you everything that you ask for, as long as you ask it according to his will. Don't you tell me that God can't do it. Because like Kirk Carr said, I seen it for myself. God has been good to us. And when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul absolutely cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. God bless you, saints.